Airbnb.
Yetis, how much can you charge for your place? Important question, but hard to answer.
Airbnb helps host with that. They show you how much similar places in your area are going for so you can compare and contrast.
Jack, this two-bedroom walk-up, it's going for $300 a night on weekends, but my two-bedroom walk-up is nicer, it's got a pretty view, and maybe I'll put it up for $400 a night.
Nailing the price is key to being a satisfied host on Airbnb, and Airbnb helps you do it. Your home might be worth more than you think.
Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Rocket Money.
All right, Yetis, picture one place you can link all your money accounts to have one single picture of all your finances.
That's Rocket Money.
Yeah, it is.
But we love this app because it actually does a lot of different things for us.
Rocket Money, it's like our money manager. It shares money alerts like that refund that we've been waiting for.
And Rocket Money also helps us save money by helping us cancel subscriptions that we don't need anymore.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users, and it saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features.
So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
That's rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
Fabric by Gerber Life.
Yeah, a lot of people think that getting life insurance means you're insuring yourself for yourself.
But it's actually the exact opposite. You're insuring yourself for your family.
Yeah, Jack and I, we both got term life insurance to make sure our kids and our partners are taken care of if something happens to us.
Life insurance is how you protect your family's future, and we love Fabric.
Fabric by Gerber Life is term life insurance you can get done right here, right now. You could be covered from your couch in under 10 minutes with no health exam required.
And if you're young and healthy, now is the time to get life insurance.
Because you lock in low rates that fit your family and your budget.
Join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/tboy.
That's meetfabric.com/tboy.
Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company, not available in certain states, and prices subject to underwriting and health questions.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. It is Tuesday, February 18th.
If I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. Every weekend should be a 3-day weekend.
And that's why this Snacks is the best one yet. I'm still sore from skiing. I learned that powder scares me and our team won a game of monikers. Jack, anything to share?
Guess what? I became an uncle this weekend.
Boom, it's official. I don't even know how that happens. How does that happen?
Baby Greta, I'll tell you, she is as beautiful and cute as Baby Yoda.
She sounds like she runs like a German factory, Jack, already.
Congrats, Teddy and Lauren. But we got to get to our first story. Delta unveiled a bold new plan to become carbon neutral.
First airline that won't pollute the skies despite the 6 plastic cups they throw at you mid-flight when you just wanted one seltzer.
I do not need 2 cups for my seltzer.
No.
I don't need to double cup that thing.
We're doing fine.
Our second story, 2019 was a major bummer for weed stocks.
CBD can soothe anything except for portfolios.
But Canopy Growth's earnings on Friday popped cannabis stocks.
It's all about the PPK, price per kilo. Third and final story, Jack.
Our nearly unicorn of the day is Headspace. Ooh. I love this company. They just snagged $93 million in fresh funding to pull ahead of Calm in the wellness app race.
Ironically, this is becoming extremely stressful as each one raises more money.
But before we get into that, we got the inevitable question. Should President's Day have an apostrophe or not?
We all dealt with that. Maybe you had an away message up and you had no idea what direction to go in. So you asked 6 people around you. Who knew, Jack?
Is this plural? Is this singular? Is this possessive? Is this a contraction? I don't know the answer to any of these questions.
So Jack and I jumped in snack style. We discovered that the AP style book says there's no apostrophe, but the Chicago Manual of Style disagrees and thinks there should be an apostrophe.
Classic Chicago contrarian views there. Technically, so this classic. Is actually called Washington's birthday by the federal government since 1971. Washington's birthday with an apostrophe, because that's clearly possessive.
But here's where it gets confusing, because Washington's birthday is February 20th. 22nd, but Lincoln's birthday is February 12th, so are we talking plural or singular?
That's the cause of the confusion. I think it used to be Washington's birthday, but if you want to include Lincoln, you call it President's Day.
And even more confusing, it's a federal holiday, but states are allowed to call it President's Day with or without the apostrophe or any other name that they so choose.
Iowa's throwing a total curveball. They don't even recognize this as a state holiday.
Meanwhile, Ohio, Utah, and Colorado, they celebrate both presidents as Washington Lincoln Day.
And if you're from Nevada, New Jersey, or Oregon, you can celebrate all presidents, plural, not just Washington and Lincoln, all presidents.
And that means that 43 presidents are freeloaders and the holiday for them, even though their birthday isn't even close to
February. Their birthday's not even close, and they basically get a birthday.
Snackers, apostrophe or not, let's hit our three stories.
You're tuned in to Snacks Daily. We spoke to the lawyers and we gotta get something legal out the way. The snacks about the hair ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities. Nope. It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security. Right. Snacks is digestible. Business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC, member FINRA/SIPC.
For our first story, Jack, sit back, relax, and put that damn seat in the upright position. Delta just pledged to become carbon neutral in 10 years.
But mostly by planting like millions of trees.
Now, Snackers, this brings Jack and I to the age-old question, to recline or not to recline?
The fifth commandment of the airline is thou shalt recline if thou wants to recline.
And Delta CEO Ed Bastian just did a CNBC interview where he said, we all have the right to recline, but you just got to let the person behind you know you're going to do it.
Ed Bastian said it's the polite thing to do to turn around and be like, hey, do you mind? I'm going to lean back. You might want to brace yourself. Hold on to your drinks. I hope you don't have a coffee because you might spill it.
Good thing, because Ed Bastian is like a giant. He's 6'3", and he doesn't recline.
Ed Bastian is a gigantic person, but he definitely flies on his own California king-size bed,
yeah,
not a recliner.
Ed must be nice. But in that same interview with CNBC, Jack and I noticed that he discussed a very inconvenient truth that eats at us every time we're in a window seat.
Flying planes requires burning fuel directly into the atmosphere. It's like building that greenhouse above our planet, contributing to global warming.
Now, Delta doesn't deny this, but it also was the very first sentence on their press release about their big new carbon neutral initiative.
98% of Delta's carbon footprint is the jet fuel that powers the planes and that's burned right into the atmosphere.
So Jack and I jumped in snack style, went a little further, and found an incredibly long and inefficient fact that sums all this up.
No, Nick, this is a good fact. I couldn't figure out a way to snackify this thing, but I think the snackers are ready for it.
All right, here's the first part. One JFK to London round trip flight generates as much carbon dioxide per passenger. One sec, I need to take a break.
All right, as much CO2 per passenger as one person produces in an entire year who lives in 56 countries.
we'll let that one sink in.
Yeah, the most polluting people pollute more, but in 56 countries, the average person pollutes less than one round-trip flight.
And so that leads us to the big question here. What exactly is Delta going to spend $1 billion on to make carbon neutrality possible in 10 years?
First, they're going to make the planes more efficient. They're going to reduce the weight of the planes by taking out excess weight. They're going to use more sustainable fuel. Just throw some ethanol into that jet fuel, Nick.
Oh, and then they mentioned they've got these A220 planes that are 25% more efficient than the ones they're replacing. These planes are in great shape.
But the more colorful solutions are basically the wokeifying solutions. Get more woke at Delta.
So what Delta's going to be doing is like planting trees to remove carbon. They're basically going to have like Delta forests flopping up around the country.
Because remember, plants inhale CO2 and exhale oxygen.
Now the staff of Delta also pledges they're going to start recycling better.
That means stop offering me 4 napkins with every drink. I don't need 4 napkins and stop double cupping that cup.
If you ask a flight attendant to refill your cup, they look at you and they're like,
what are you doing? You get a dirty look.
What are you doing?
So basically, our take here is Delta is paying $100 million per year in a voluntary carbon tax.
And the hope is them doing that and spending big on sustainability will bring in more customer love. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Delta?
How can an inherently polluting business become carbon neutral.
Snackers, both Delta and BP, both pledged carbon neutrality in just the past 2 weeks.
Which is insane because airlines and oil are two of the highest polluting industries there are.
This is like Ben and Jerry saying it's going dairy-free and sending the cows home.
Yeah, how do you do this? It's inherently counter to your business.
And those cows, they have families. They're working hard.
They can do it with carbon offsets.
Basically, they pay for a certificate that says, you know, somebody will plant trees in exchange for this.
Or Delta will pay like $1 million and somebody else will replace their factory with solar panels instead of coal-powered electricity. But not our factory. Not our factory.
Now, these carbon offsets, they aren't as good as polluting less because who knows if that forest like was actually ever built.
Delta's carbon emissions are very easy to measure and verify, but Delta's carbon offsets, like planting some forest, those are harder to measure and verify.
Either way, Delta's making progress while the government does nothing. For our second story, cannabis stocks really needed a boost.
And it got a boost from Canopy Growth's earnings on Friday.
All right, Jack and I are going straight up leaf to table on this one. We're tracing cannabis stocks from the farm to the stock market. Jack, where do we begin?
The first Canadian cannabis companies went public in 2015, and the last IPOs kind of went through like 2018.
Now, Snackers, you may remember mid-2018, Bitcoin insanity had like kind of calmed down, and investors began moving over to cannabis insanity.
Nick, remember the end of 2017 when if you created a new crypto, chances are it would get 10 times higher in price in like 1 week?
A lot of people thought we were coming out with crypto snacks. Never was a thing, though.
I swear, 6 months later, it felt the same with cannabis stocks. They were going crazy high.
And that's when Jack and I noticed a big three of cannabis began to emerge.
They're all listed in Canada because that's a more marijuana-friendly country.
Great
Aurora,
place.
Aurora, Canopy, and Tilray. Those were tiny companies that hit multi-billion dollar valuations on just thrill and excitement for the legalization of marijuana.
And then, Snackers, a key step happened in October 2018.
Canada legalized recreational weed, becoming the second country in the world where you could smoke pot and not worry about the cops.
But life is all about expectations, and investors kind of expected that this would be like a Willy Wonka opening up his chocolate factory for the masses situation.
They expected pandemonium, miscalculated, demand did not meet investor sky-high expectations.
And that's when the bubble popped last year.
Get this, Snackers. Aurora's stock has fallen 83% from its highest point. Tilray stock is down 89%, and Canopy, rounding out the big three, its stock is down 56%.
That's why Jack and I were so fascinated with Canopy's earnings report that came out on Friday, because it's the biggest of Canada's big weed.
So we jumped in snack style, and there's a key metric that we watch in cannabis earnings: the price per gram of weed.
That's the key supply-demand item that drives profits for a company like Canopy.
Okay, for Canopy last quarter, the average kilogram of marijuana, cannabis, whatever you want to call it, sold for $7.23. That is down just 10 cents from the previous year when they were selling for $7.33 per gram.
Now, that may not sound like a lot, but it's a big deal when you consider that the price per gram plummeted 24% during the previous quarter.
So Canopy stock jumped 18% on Friday on excitement that the dropping of price of their core product may have hit a bottom and might be turning up.
And that caused Aurora and Tilray stocks to also hit highs, jumping 8% on Friday each. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over in cannabis over at Canopy?
Cannabis investors are searching for the bottom of the dip.
Snackers, many still believe that cannabis stock could hit a high thanks to the fundamental trends supporting cannabis growth.
One trend is the opioid crisis in America.
Right, marijuana could be a safer alternative for pain control.
Another trend, policy and legal 180 that has happened in the United States regarding marijuana.
We're talking like easing criminality of marijuana, legalizing it, and like finding it everywhere.
Finally, the fact that wellness is more important than the social stigma you might get if you are a weed smoker.
Yeah, made up snack fact here. One out of three snackers have a CBD toothpaste for their cat.
The market's reaction Friday to Canopy stock suggests that they think the worst could be over for the cannabis industry.
That's why we could be past the bottom and stocks could go up from here.
But the whole cannabis industry is still praying and hoping for legalization in the United States, which hasn't happened yet.
But politics could change everything in either direction really quickly. By the way, this is Nick, and I still own one Bitcoin. His name is Ben. For our third and final story, Headspace, the wellness app, just raised $93 million in fresh funding.
It kind of makes the meditation app rivalry a little more stressful.
Jack and I have seen how zen Headspace's press releases and website are, but we're like wondering if that even carries over to the behind the scenes like pitch sessions to investors.
Excuse me, venture capital. Be present, focus on your breathing, and purposefully write us a check for $93 million.
Or is it really more like, we need $93 million right now if we're going to be the top wellness app. Please, please give us a check.
Please give us a check. Please give us a check. Please give us a check.
And the reason they may be a little stressed out over at Headspace is because there are two leaders when it comes to wellness apps focused on guided meditation.
Calm and Headspace. Both offer 5, 10, or 15-minute audio recordings you listen to in the morning. You start your day by getting your head in a clear place with some meditation and some mindfulness.
Boom, you're balanced to start your day even though you've got 400 emails in your inbox. Now, last year, we went over Calm, which had hit a unicorn status, $1 billion with its latest fundraise.
Both Calm and Headspace are private companies, but they're both trying to become unicorns, and Calm is doing it by hiring Matthew McConaughey. There's actually a feature in their app where he will whisper you a lullaby so that you can fall asleep. It sounds pretty epic.
There's nothing like going into a dream guided by Matthew McConaughey.
But Headspace, they don't have McConaughey. Headspace has been around longer. They're about to turn 10 years old.
Yeah, their co-founder became mindful as a monk in India.
So mindful that he moved to Silicon Valley in California to start a startup that he could turn into a billion-dollar company and eventually get insanely rich when he someday IPOs.
Now, technically, Headspace has 62 million downloads, but what impressed Jack and I is that they've got 2 million paid subscribers who are getting like fancy hell-non wellness support.
These things are like between $50 and $100 per year. It's really impressive they've got 2 million people to sign up.
Now, snackers, shocker here, both companies obviously based in California, one in San Francisco, one in LA.
But ironically, these companies put a lot of pressure on their employees who seem really stressed out.
Yeah, Jack and I jumped into the Glassdoor employee reviews of the companies, and they've mentioned it's a fast-paced culture with a lot of pressure. Sounds like Headspace needs more Headspace for its Headspacers.
Now, the most interesting thing about Headspace, it seems more interested in your boss than it is to you.
Jack and I were fascinated about this. They've got a new feature called Headspace for Work that launched in 2017.
This helps businesses get their employees becoming more mindful through meditation.
Right. The idea is if you've got a clear head, that leads to good ideas lead to good profits.
I actually use Calm like every other day, probably, with Alex, who uses it every day. And I think it's made our snacks better.
Half of Jack's and my good ideas come during Shavasana. I'm like tempted to bring in a whiteboard to class.
And that's why Starbucks, General Electric, and Hyatt Hotels are among the 600 corporate clients that have signed up for Headspace for Work for all their employees.
And that's why Headspace for Work's revenues have doubled annually since 2017. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Headspace?
Headspace is taking on the existential question, B2B or B2C?
Right, snackers, B2B is business to business, companies that sell to other companies.
B2C is business to consumer. That's when companies are trying to sell you and me and us products because we're just regular consumers.
But here's the thing Jack and I have noticed about the wellness tech industry. The answer is both.
Fitbit, One Medical, Headspace. These are all techie wellness healthcare companies that are trying to sell directly to my boss and directly to me at the same time.
But Headspace is going to use $93 million to focus on more B2B. Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us over there?
Delta is paying an extra $100 million a year to offset the carbon emissions from its flights.
An inherently polluting business can get carbon neutral thanks to carbon offsets.
Our second story, the price per gram of cannabis sold by Canopy stopped plummeting last quarter.
So investors bought the dip, hoping cannabis stocks go up from here.
Our third and final story, Headspace just got $93 million from private investors as it keeps growing before its mindful IPO.
Clear your mind so you can pitch your company's HR department on adding Headspace for employees. Time for our snack back today. This one sent in by Kalyani LeMay from Mumbai, India. Kalyani, this is kind of depressing, but kind of shocking.
All right, we've heard of Steve Jobs. We've heard of, is it Steve Wozniak?
Let's go with Steve.
Okay, two Steves. So two famous Steve founders of Apple. But have you heard of Ronald Wayne?
Ronald Wayne is the forgotten third founder of Apple. And he did something that he probably regrets.
12 days after the company was founded, he sold his 10% stake of Apple to Steve Wozniak. And he's like, I'm out of here. I don't think you guys are going to create an iPad, an iPhone, an iPod, trillions of dollars.
That 10% was worth just $800 then. The shares now would be worth $140 billion.
Jeez, Kalyani, we're really kicking this guy while he's down with this snack fact.
Snackers, loved having you with us. We missed you yesterday.
I missed you the whole long weekend. I'm excited to be back. Can't wait to snack tomorrow.
We'll catch you tomorrow.
The Robinhood Snacks podcast you just heard reflects the opinions of only the hosts who are associated persons of Robinhood Financial LLC and does not reflect the views of Robinhood Markets Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. The podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to serve as a recommendation to buy or sell any security and is not an offer or sale of a security. The podcast is also not a research report and is not intended to serve as the basis of any investment decision. Robinhood Financial LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.